Welcome to Essential Dynamics. I'm Derek Hudson, the host of the Essential Dynamics podcast. I'm joined today by my colleague from Unconstrained, Dave Kane. Dave, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm doing well. Thanks.
It's good to have you on today. On the podcast, we talk about Essential Dynamics, a thinking framework that we're working on at Unconstrained. And we explore the concepts of Essential Dynamics through deep conversations with interesting people. We're stuck with you and I today, Dave, but we've got an interesting topic, and I'm really excited for the opportunity we have to talk about this. I don't have the date in front of me, but within the last couple of weeks, there was a speech given by Carolyn Rogers from the Bank of Canada declaring a productivity emergency in Canada. So we want to talk about productivity today. Dave, first of all, you've done some work in the past on economic impact and economic indicators and stuff like that. Do we understand what we're talking about when we talk about productivity?
I don't think it's widely understood. It's sort of that economics term that's usually followed by a bunch more of economics terms that people don't really they just kind of gloss over when you start getting into it. But, I mean, essentially, it's, you know, how much value an economy is making per hour worked. Is how it comes down to being measured. But more simply, it's, you know, how effectively are you using the inputs to make outputs?
So I think that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that hour thing much, but I use it in my work with clients, and we'll get to that in a, you know, probably a little bit later in the conversation, but just to highlight.
Yeah. So where that one comes from, I mean, the Bank of Canada kind of watches it. And back in, you know, early 80s-ish, they'd compare us to the United States and say, you know, we're 88% as efficient, you know, for what we produce in an hour versus them. And I think this emergency they're declaring is they're watching it, and it's gone down to the low 70s. So we're becoming less efficient compared to, you know, our biggest trading partner and North American neighbor here. So
less efficient per hour worked.
And I think the other reason they're bringing it up so much now is because inflation is, you know, the thing they're most worried about. But inflation and productivity kind of go a bit together in that if you have a relatively unproductive economy, your ability to control inflation is weakened. You get, in say today's environment, you end up having to pay people more and they're not producing anymore. So you're getting this inflationary effect. And so they want to increase productivity because it makes you more resilient. It makes you handle inflation and keep it under control better.
Well, I suppose that would be the same for an individual or a family.
Absolutely.
If you're making minimum wage and your car breaks down, you're in a pickle. If you're pulling in $300,000 a year and your car breaks down, well, first of all, it's less likely to break down, because it's probably a newer car and better repair. But if it does break down, you just take it to the mechanic and pay for it. And you go on with your life. So our country is kind of more like working at minimum wage. Is that what you're saying?
I guess, yeah. I'm not quite sure I follow that analogy. But yeah, our costs of what we've been paying people have been going up, and we're making equal goods. And so that's bad for productivity.
That's right. So, you know, I took a look at the material that Bank of Canada put out. And one of the things they do is they sell the value of high productivity. We can handle inflation. We have faster growth. There's more jobs, higher wages. And overall, that generates capacity for public services as well. So there should be no arguments on any side of the political spectrum against higher productivity. Do you think that holds up?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's just how do you get there? And quite often, you know, it's picking winners or trying to do things that are seen as affecting it.
Let's talk about picking winners for a second. What are some things you've seen in the past about the futility of that?
Well, the way they're going to do it is they're either going to go after trying to improve the training and skills to make your workforce, you know, better, or they're going to go after investment and trying to get better tools for the workers so that they can produce more within that time. And so, you know, it's often just being seen as trying to affect it by going after the biggest pieces in the industry. And you know, particularly out in Ontario, where you have a huge manufacturing part of your economy. Whereas out here in Alberta, or even in Edmonton, aside from some of the big oil and gas side, we're predominantly small and medium sized businesses. And so we don't always see the effect as quickly, potentially on the training side. The mom and pop businesses aren't going to see what the government's doing quite as quickly.
So let's take a step back and connect this to essential dynamics and maybe take some time to reframe the challenge then. So essential dynamics is based on the idea that we can look at things we do as humans in a simplified systems thinking approach. Where we're trying to do something hard. Originally, the idea there was we're on this quest. And the way we accomplish what we're trying to do, which is the purpose, is to take a bunch of people on a journey. So that gives us with the three elements we talk about essential dynamics, the purpose, the path, and the people. And we're trying to think about a system that accomplishes a purpose. When we talk about the economy, you know, yeah, there's an economic system, but I think that the real unit of an economy is a producer. It's an organization that produces products or services. And if you want productivity to increase, then you have to look at the individual organizations that produce a product or a service and ask yourself, how can they produce that product or service better, more efficiently, at higher value with less cost? Is that's holding up?
That's holding up. Yep.
So if that's the case, when the government tries to improve the economy, the only way they can improve the economy is for individual businesses to operate more productively. I remember years ago, I had a fantastic board member that taught us that there's no such thing as a market. There is only a customer. And as an individual business, you don't sell to a market. I mean, unless maybe you're in the commodities, but you sell to a customer, and then you can step back and try and frame up a market by grouping customers or products or something like that. But for an individual business, the transaction is we get a sales order and we deliver, and you know that's how we get revenue. And there's nothing other than that. There's no other way to get revenue than to sell to an individual customer. Now you might have one contract that lasts 5 years. Or you might get 500 downloads a day. But in each of those cases, there's a customer that's buying your product. And so that's part of the equation. So you have an organization that can be more or less productive. And so the government's trying to fix this problem of productivity. And so, as you said, the things that were thrown out there were job training, somehow incentivizing investment. And then I think the other one that they tossed out there was competition. I think that's the reason we're talking about this today. I don't think those are the source of the answers.
Yeah, because they'll throw out competition into that mix because it puts that pressure on to produce things more effectively or be more efficient with what you have. So it's sort of the pressure that focuses you back on your skills, your processes, your investments.
But competition, like the way I kind of look at it is, I think that it's almost a direct quotation, competition drives companies to be more productive. And I would say in actuality, competition drives out the unproductive.
True. But in our economy, I'm not sure increasing competition is going to be the lever that's going to drive us to be more productive. Especially when you look at our history, right, of oil and gas booms, where productivity is helped because we're putting these massive investments in, and then there's a bump in productivity. Those weren't driven by, you know, benefits of competition. It was because of the opposite of anyone who could produce something was able to in a few instances, right?
Well, no, it's interesting because we complain about things in Canada like mobile phone services, which in Canada is really an oligopoly and it's not competitive. And so we pay more for cell phones and internet than most places in the developed world. We also complain about the cost of air travel. And in both those cases, there is less competition. But the answer to introducing competition is simple. it's open up the border. And if you open up the border in air travel and telecommunications, the price will go down for consumers. There's no doubt about that. The question is, will a Canadian company survive?
The question is, would that drive productivity growth that survival issue?
I don't think competition is the answer. I think that competitive pressure will reveal the increases in productivity, but it doesn't necessarily create them.
Right.
So we throw that one out, and now we have job training and investment. And I'm just gonna go.
Well, there's job training and there's investment, and then there's what they would call the multi-factor productivity, which is basically how do you balance those two, right? So it's not so much just the one lever versus the other lever. It's how do you work the two of them together? And I think that's more the management side, because on the skill side, yeah, there can be management training, but I think it's more just management's ability in each of these organizations to work both levers and to balance, you know, do I add a higher skill level? Do I add more equipment, or do I just go and focus on the right things?
So do we have a productivity problem because we have a management problem?
Well, I think it's certainly a component of it. I mean, yes, you can say we have a lower level of investment compared to other countries, but we have a whole lot of different issues. But one of them that most, you know, small and medium-sized organizations can address is, you know, am I focusing on the right things that are going to lead to productivity, or am I distracted, or am I too busy doing something else? So it kind of leads a lot back to, you know, the essential dynamic side of the management attention deficits.
Yeah, well, let's talk about management attention deficit. We've covered that topic before. So here's the profile. So you have a business owner, small business owner. This could be, you know, what some people might think is a fairly large small business, you know, with a couple hundred employees. But there's a small team at the top and there's one owner. They can only handle so much. And they would like to be more productive. They would like to be more profitable as well. So there's a new job training program that comes out. And they send a bunch of employees to the job training program and they come back. But they come back to the same business, with the same systems, the same order book, the same processes, the same specifications for their products. I'm not sure you're going to see instant improvement in productivity because somebody went on a course.
Yeah, it's going to help for sure. But it's like you say, the processes and all the things inside. Because if you think of the value creation system of a company and, you know, what inputs do you have to work with versus what outputs are you going to do, you know, adding a little bit of that training in isolation, you're not going to see long-term benefit or immediate benefit, I guess.
You're not going to see immediate benefit. Okay, so management's job anyway is to make sure that they have trained employees. The employees that are fit to do the job. Like they have to recruit or train or, you know,
and develop. Continually improve, yeah.
Improve, like that's their job. And the other side is, on the investment side is, it's management's job to make investments that improve productive capacity, you know, into the future, and to find the source of funds for those investments.
Yeah, they're not doing it for the purpose of trying to improve Canada's productivity, though. They're doing it on an ROI, right?
That's right.
And they're making rational business decisions to improve their profitability.
Right. And if you complain about managers not making those decisions the way you want, I'm not sure how you change that.
I mean, is it that they're not making the right decisions, or because I'm kind of thinking it's quite often the programs and policies that come out to try and encourage, say, productivity, they're going to say, well, let's go focus on this, or even you know, programs to help the digital marketing or those types of things. Does management sort of go, oh, that's where I can get this at a discount, or I can get subsidization, or this is where I'm going to go because you know, somebody's going to help me out, as opposed to, is that the right place to invest my time and my energy? So sometimes I think they just get distracted and go after, you know, those that are presented in front of them.
So that's that goes back to that premise about management attention. So let's sort that one out a little bit. So if management's job is to assemble all of the resources and set up the processes necessary to add value to their customers, then the more management attention is wisely used, the more productive an organization can be. And the more management attention is distracted on things that don't add to that, the less improvement you're going to see. So one of the problems that I've seen with government support programs over my career in a bunch of different areas is anytime that free money from the government becomes a distraction to management, and they get off their strategy, because if they just step a little bit over to the side, they can get some money to do something. And so I think that any government program that takes management off their game and adds to management distraction is probably going to cause more harm than good, as an example.
If it is a distraction, whereas, preparation meets opportunity, that type of, if you have your plan in place and you know the areas you want to focus and that you want to leverage, and then these programs come along, then that's just a huge boon. It's just, if you don't have the plan in place and you don't know what you need to do, and then you just jump on the shiny object, then it can be a distraction, and then it can sort of get you working on the areas that aren't going to have the highest benefit for your organization.
So let's set this up for our next conversation, because we agree that Canada has a productivity problem, and our position is that the way you improve Canada's productivity is improving the productivity of all of the individual businesses, or as many as you can in the country. It's actually a individual organization game in a lot of cases, and that management's job is to do that, but it's not that easy. So Dave, just as we wind this one up, I want to kind of set the stage for our next episode. Let's talk about what are the key things that management can do to improve their productivity on an individual basis. And if we add that up for a lot of companies, that'll improve Canada's productivity. What are the things that come to mind?
Well, it's no different than what you're doing at an economic level, right? So it is the training, the skills, and the investment, but it's focusing them on the right areas that are going to provide you the greatest return. And I think that comes back to, like you sort of said at the beginning, your quest, your people, path, your purpose. It's knowing your own value creation system, knowing where your constraints are, and applying the productivity opportunities to those pieces. You don't go apply it to where you're already efficient, or you're not going to see the same amount of return. So I think it's the same logic. It's just applying it into your model.
So the first thing I heard there is you understand your value chain. So that's a really cool thing about this productivity conversation. The productivity conversation is about creating value. And it's about creating value, you know, with the sort of lowest amount of work that you can do. So we strongly encourage every organization to step back and say, what are the steps we take to go from input to output? So that's one thing you said. Then you look at that and you can say, of the steps in our value chain, what's the one that limits our production? Where do we have least capacity, or what's the hardest step for us? And then I think you said, so then take all your energy for improvement and apply it to the point that has the most leverage. And if you do that, you can see significant impacts, which will include higher productivity per labor hour, higher profit per revenue, and that'll benefit the company. And if enough companies do that, that'll benefit the economy. Some of that might be job training. It might be investment. It could be just the way you flow your process to create value. It could be how you specify things with your customers. It could even be changing your pricing. And that's the unique part to every organization. So they have to figure that out. And I think in that next episode, we should talk about how an organization might figure that out.
That makes a lot of sense to me. It's well summarized.
Okay. So that was a great start to this conversation. I just want to sort of highlight the importance of this. Our central bank has declared an emergency on productivity. They've proposed some things which we don't think are exactly on track, and we're proposing some alternative ways of thinking about it. So that's episode 91, and we'll come back and continue this conversation and talk about how each of us in our organizations can improve productivity, which improves the lot of employees. It improves the services customers get, takes care of investors, and builds our great nation. So until next time, everyone, on a national and global level, consider your quest.